Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which aims to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Saturday's Mackinac message comes from the camp Moses and His Associates preached to shepherds in Maryland in the USA. Bishop Dag will teach you how to become a beloved son or daughter in the house of God, which should be the aim of every minister. Today's teaching will reveal the practical ways that you can demonstrate and strengthen your connection to your spiritual fathers and the key requirements you must fulfill in order to be a true son or daughter in the ministry. Listen and be blessed.
Next topic we are going to discuss is demonstration of spiritual sonship. Now, if you are not a son, what's a bastard? Amen. We'll soon find out what is a bastard. Number one, how many want to be sons or bastards? I don't think you want to be a bastard. Now, there are people sometimes who call you father, papa. Do you have the DVD? I'm going to show that in a moment, okay? Now, there are people who call you father, this, that. Now, it's important that you should be a son, okay? It's important that you should be a son, all right? And it's important that you should be a daughter, okay? These are not ideas that have come out of the blue. They are things that are in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." Okay? So, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my beloved son. All right, grace and peace. Amen. Are you there? Timothy, my beloved bastard. No. My beloved son. A bastard is a natural child begotten and born out of wedlock and an illegitimate or spurious child. Amen. Spurious. Are you a spurious child? You were created by the falling of sperms on the roadside. Spurious. Mercy. No, you must be a proper child. Anybody you see who does not have a father is something different. Somebody like Tieku, Pastor Ko, Akwele. And when I see them, I rarely admire their father. It's true. I rarely admire their father because of them. Because the son speaks of his father. Yeah. So I really admire the father. And I'm grateful to God for their father. I know other children are here too. Akwete and Akwete. All of you. All our pastors or almost pastors. It's a marvelous thing. Or you don't get it. And from my little discussion that I had with Pastor Oko, I know that your father put a lot into you that you may not even know what he put into you till perhaps he's gone. Or perhaps as your children grow up and they are not becoming what you want them to be, you may now look back at things that your father did that you thought were unnecessary, but that made you what you are. You get it? Or you don't get it? Yeah. So thank God. So, a beloved son, is a very good thing to be. How many of you are sons and daughters? How many are bastards? And as a female bastard is what? Bastardess. So, you must aim to be a good son or daughter. Amen. How do you do that? Number one, more points are coming. You must demonstrate at the demonstration of a teachable spirit of a son. Okay? Demonstration of the teachable spirit of a son. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, but continue thou, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Okay? So he's telling his son to continue in the things which you learned. So a son learns. He learns. When you stop learning, you are no more a son. You are an equal. What do you think? Yeah. Should I introduce myself to that I'm your father in the ministry? You need an introduction of that one too. If you are a son, you must continue to learn. I hope he doesn't mind what I'm going to say. But, you know, Pastor Michael was talking to me about some services that he's having with the other branches and miracle type of services. And so I was very happy. I was very happy to see that. Trying to do something and move forward in the ministry is very good. Because that's also what I did. At a point, I said, let's start to have some miracle service, pray for the sick, minister to people. That's how to move forward. But you see, what I'm trying to say is that most of us have stopped learning. Or you don't get what I'm trying to say. You've stopped learning things. As soon as you manage to know how to write, put a sermon together, do one or two preaching and so on, it's like I've arrived. When you see somebody preaching and teaching, like I'm doing now, it's a very small fraction of what the person actually does. That is what you have to realize. It's a very, very small part of what happens. Sometimes even obeying God, hearing different things, which are not said even so clearly, they are all part of learning. What do you think? Some of you need to learn how to be a good son and continue to learn from the position where you are, which is sometimes afar off. And you can. You can learn. You know, and as I'll tell you something, as long as you don't settle into rituals and you don't settle into just doing whatever has been done in the past, you will always find yourself trying to do something new, to go forward, to let the ministry work, to become a minister, become a pastor, become a better pastor, to bring church growth, to move your church forward, to do something. Oh, Please let that be your aim. I've had 50 members before where I was praying that, Lord, give me 100, just 100, just 100. I said, if God gives me 100 people, then I have reached the climax of ministry. Pastors, ministers, shepherds, you must aim to have 100 people seated and do anything and everything to try to have 100 people. When you have 100 people, you must say to yourself, you know, I'm going to do everything to have 200 people. That's how you keep growing. And growing is not easy. When a bird is coming out of the shell, you have to break out. Most of us have been born into this world with shells around us, walls around us. That's why when Jacob was blessing his children, one of the blessings he gave to one of his children was that your branches will go over the walls that are around about you. Because all of us are restricted and have various restrictions in our lives and our ministries. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm restricted to Ghana and I'm breaking out of Ghana. You see, there was a time I was preaching in mostly Lighthouse Church, but right now I preach more outside. Well, I don't know if it's more, but I preach a lot outside. And for instance, our crusades, we are going to show you in a minute. Are you ready? You ready? You ready with everything? I'm not going to show it right now. No, don't need to go anywhere, but just asking whether you are ready. You are ready? Where is the thing? You have it? So get everything ready, okay? So that when I tell you, then you start. But when you watch it, you see that I'm confined to Ghana. I'm trying to break out of Ghana. I want to have successful crusades outside Ghana. Very much so. Today, I have not heard from them. I think they are still in Accra, but they are supposed to leave. They are leaving today. I saw them. They got their car with this thing on the top. Two cars. Two jeeps, two Land Cruisers or Nissan Patrols or whatever. All right. Is there a problem at the back? There's a new committee that has been formed at the back. I'm preaching. So I just said if the DVD is there. Kojo, are you part of the technical team? Correcting. Okay. I'll wait for you to finish. Now, I was saying that I am restricted, but I want to break out of Ghana. So I send them. They are driving to Mali, Chad, Senegal. No, don't worry. To all these different countries. And they're trying to find, I've told Prince, I said, find a way to East Africa from Ghana driving. Wow. Yeah, find a way. And we have got various maps, internet, pictures, so to try to find a place that you can pass from Ghana to East Africa. Avoiding the rebels' roads where there's no road. A lot of places, there's no road. To cross to Cameroon, to Gabon, you have to cross Nigeria, go to Gabon, and when you are getting to crossing Nigeria, you come to Port Harcourt. That's where the rebels are with the oil people. They're always kidnapping people there. And then there's no road. There's a boat you have to take and go through the sea. Various things. So we have to find a road in the north to see if we can enter Cameroon at the top, come down, descend to Gabon, find a way to Congo Brazzaville, and then cross the river to Kinshasa. And then from Kinshasa, we see if we can go to Nairobi, avoiding the rebels over there. Yeah, we have to go. Do you understand what we are doing? Otherwise, we just stay. And all I'm trying to say is that I've always found myself confined. And all of us in the ministry are always confined. And so it's necessary to break out of what confines you. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? And move forward. When I say break out, welcome, but I don't mean leave the church. Then the devil has opened your chest and put something inside. Yeah. And he has run away too. Because even though I make a lot of changes in the ministry all the time, you will notice that the road is the same road. We have been on evangelism, church planting, do the work of God. The song is the same song. All that I'm preaching is the same thing that I'm preaching in a different way. It doesn't change, although it seems as it's changing. It's the same thing that is changing and not changing. True. Are you there or you've gone home? How many are here? You are confined and God is breaking you out of your confinement. If you are married, you can't have a child. You see how they will try to break out of that thing. Ugh! Do anything and everything just to have a child. We have buildings upon buildings upon buildings. People trying to have a child. You don't have a husband, you do anything. Don't have this. Everything and anything is done. Why is it that when it comes to the ministry, there's no effort? That is why I'm learning a good general. Does not listen to what people say. Just look at what they do. Do, and then we will take you serious.
Amen.
Don't speak too much. What do you think? So learn. And that's one of the things you can learn from is that I always try to break out of my confinement. Because everybody is born into some confinement. You see, Benny Hinn had a crusade in Nigeria. He tried to have it, and it was difficult. He had a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. And at a point on the stage, he said, $4 million gone down the drain. He was very frustrated. Because, in a sense, he's almost confined to America and to some places. To break into some of these places. To understand Africa. You have to break in. It's also another place where we play with different rules. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody is like that. Everybody has a little thing that confines you. And you need to break forward. So a good son is learning. 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 Huh? What do you think? How many are good sons? But one of the things I find about many of you, especially the older pastors, is that you stopped learning long time ago. You can't even preach as well as I do. Some of my pastors can preach better than I do, but they don't have the authority that I have. But they are better preachers. But some of you are not even, you can't even preach well, and they also don't have authority. Which makes it worse. You stop listening to tapes and CDs to learn. You don't have a makane. Something that you can afford. You have it and you don't listen. You don't put it on. You don't have you don't go to the internet. Some of the things I preached, I've been watching to see the responses. Because I've been preaching them recently on the internet. And I watch as I realize that you are all unaware. Because you know a lot, so you don't check. All those things. Huh? Huh? Are you check? Say I check. Don't say we check. Say I check. When I'm preaching to people who are currently in step with what I'm doing, I know. And when I'm preaching to people who are not, I also know. And you are not. Oh yeah. That's my opinion. I stand to be corrected. Pardon? I still have homecoming.
It's under the lighthouse. It's a different webpage. It's under the lighthouse webpage.
The lighthouse.
Yeah. You have to move
there. There's a lighthouse website. I think that's now more active than the other one. What do you think? But what I'm saying is that, you know, I can, something like me, for instance, I change my number. It's part of my routine. Every few days, and I change my number. So that I meet somebody who has been telephoning a number or sending text to a number that I changed a year ago, 1.5 years ago. I say, look at you. It shows how distant you are. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that you can always see people who have stopped learning. And they are just existing. They are just there. May you always be a learner and be a good son. In Jesus' name. Anyway, you can't force a horse to drink. Just take him to the water side. Number two, demonstration of, I'm talking about demonstration of spiritual sonship. Number two, demonstration of a kindred, similar, like-minded, compatible, understanding, sympathetic, agreeable, in tune, congenial, like-minded, companionable spirit of a son. Okay, I'll say it again. Don't worry. Demonstration of a kindred, similar, like-minded, compatible, understanding, sympathetic, agreeable, in tune, congenial, companionable spirit of a son. Should I say it again? One more time. Okay. Demonstration of a kindred, similar, like-minded spirit, similar spirit, kindred spirit, compatible spirit, understanding spirit. A son understands his father. Sympathetic spirit. You are sympathetic to what his problems are. Agreeable. You are agreeable. In tune. Congenial. Companionable. Companionable is somebody you can company with. Some of you, if I stay with you for 5 minutes, I will not have anything to say. After 5 minutes or 10 minutes. What do you think? There's nothing to talk about. We don't have much in common. Why are you looking at me like that? Have I said something wrong? So, and I'm reading Philippians 2:20. It says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." He was talking about Philippians 2:20. He was talking about Timothy. He said, "I don't have anybody like Timothy. Like-minded." So if you want to demonstrate yourself to be a true son or daughter, you need to be like-minded, companionable, congenial, in tune, agreeable, not disagreeable or cantankerous. Huh? Sympathetic. What do you think? Spirit of a son. What do you think? George, if you are pastoring a church, would you not like to have agreeable people in the church? How many of you would like to have agreeable people in the church? Like-minded. Not that the person has a different mind. Congenial. How many would like to have in tune people? People who are in tune. Yeah. In step. Compatible. How many would like to have compatible people or incompatible people? Amen. What do you think? Would you like to have such people? Yeah. Pastor Joe would also like to have such people. I would also like to have such people. All pastors would like to have such people. May you be a good son and demonstrate spiritual sonship in Jesus' name. The next one, demonstration of the caring attitude of a true son. Amen. He says, who will naturally care for your state? He says, I don't have anybody like Timothy who naturally will care for your state. A true son cares for your state. Amen. What do you think? whenever I see Bishop Duncan Williams, I always am very concerned about everything about him. This, that, different things. And he often asks me about things. This, that. Concerned about his health. I'm concerned about everything so that he'll be okay. Because I know a lot of people hate him. Hey! Because he's a preacher. When I tell you that I'm high tech, you think. All right. Now, naturally care. Do you get it? Oh, it would be great to have people who naturally care. Amen. Number four. Demonstration of a servant's attitude of a son. I mean, a true son must do some work in the house. What do you think? Go and do this. May I send my children? Go here. And I'm sure sometimes they run away. If your mother doesn't send you to cook, she has harmed you. Because you grow up and you cannot make stew. You grow up, nobody can eat your soup, but they can say. Nobody can eat the things you make. Some of you, you see, you are married to people with a Catholic taste. You know what the Catholic taste is? They eat everything, including rubbish. So you have cooked rubbish for them for years, and because they eat it, you think you are cooking. You see, some people, depending on the school they went to, they were always hungry when they were young. So anything at all they get to eat, they are very happy. So when you give them rubbish, they just swallow it. So, demonstration of a servant's attitude, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Philippians 2, 21 and 22. That as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. A true son or a true daughter will serve the Father in the gospel. And not be co-equals. How many of you serve Pastor Joel? And that is why nobody will also serve you. Yeah? Your life, nobody will serve you. Because you don't serve anybody. You see, a true son wants to serve his father. And a true daughter wants to serve her father. Does it? He says that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. He has served with me in the gospel. Amen. Look, we are in the thing together. One day I'll be gone, or you'll be gone. I don't know which of us is going to go first. But when we go, that will be the end. That's when it all ends. And we take up whatever the Father will give us in heaven. But until then, we are to serve and to serve with one another in the gospel of Jesus Christ to the very end. It is this service that will count. Look, I don't want to frighten you, but I can pull out one of you to come and lie here as a dead body. And you will see that in that moment, everything in your life has no meaning. I go to Bishop Saki's room. His wife's things are there. All her things. He just has a few things. She has everything else. It cannot be used. Her car is there. I said, I'm coming for her car because it remains too much. So that we not see that car. Everything that is on earth is useless. That's how death is. So one day, if you're serving with me in the gospel, you'll be so happy that even you had 1 hour to do something. So this is the most precious thing that you have. So when you are investing in this gospel, don't let it be like it's the last thing. But let it be like it's the first thing. Let it be like it's the main thing. So that in that day, which is not too far away, you will see that it's been worth living for Jesus. It's been worth having the Lord in our lives. Can I have an amen from somebody? He says, for you yourself know that as a son, you have served me in the gospel. I pray that one day, if you die before me, I can be able to say about you, this man has served me in the gospel. He has served with me. I was serving, he was also serving. What do you think? One of our lady pastors died also. We buried her the day before I left. But one person gave a testimony, and I think I really appreciated that testimony. You see, Anne Roberts had come to her house the day before, and she was totally frightened out of her socks. But the next day, she had a knock on the door. She was so scared even to open the door. When she opened the door, here was this lady pastor, Gifty. She said, I've come to tell you about Christ. She gave it. In their tribute to her, she said that when I opened the door, there was an angel standing. And that angel was you. You brought me Christ, the gospel. Yeah. She was a total unbeliever. So she wrote, and she's a pastor today. Yeah. So when you go out of this world, those are the eternal things. So try to be an angel who will go to Los Angeles. Who will go to where? Boston. Who will go to where? Cleveland. Who will go to Alaska? Try to be the angel who will knock at somebody's door. When the person opens, it's no one but you. Bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Try to be that angel. In America, I'm not talking about going anywhere. Don't be too old. Don't be too old to do these things. One of the things that I am trying to be determined is I don't have to be old. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. Try. In fact, one of the things about Mrs. Saki was that she reinvented herself. To become a young person. Because you see, one of the sad things that I'm watching is that a lot of people who started the ministry with me at an early age, they have not been able to continue. It's like you sort of become big, too big for whatever. So it's like those small boys and girls come to take over. You see, but she joined the young people. she was like a mother with a lot of young people. All the people that work in that office where she was working, they are all 15 years younger than her and so on. She made herself a new young person. Relearned things. Different things. Oh. Forced herself to be a daughter. And joined the system. And unfortunately, some of us make ourselves so old. You are just, 36. Ogbo. Do you understand Ogbo? It's like you are sports. You are just useless. Oh. And weight, fatness, you shouldn't let it disturb you at all. Move it. Because it's got to move. Don't let yourself feel that I'm an elderly. I'm an elderly person. What do you mean by you are elderly? No, I'm an auntie. Oh, you know, fine. It's not nice. Why have you made yourself an auntie? Even when they call you auntie, you should say, please stop it. All these things, and even if your hair is gray, you should dye it. What is this gray hair? Every time you look at some old, very old man, and people relate with you as some elderly man who cannot do so many things. Huh? President Bush and others, they became president when they were 72 and 70 something years old, became president. And you are just 40, 30 something. 29. You have made yourself into a mommy. Oh, we know fine. Tell somebody, he know fine. What do you think? Make yourself a son and serve in the ministry. So that we can be able to recommend you. The last thing I said about Mrs. Saki when I paid tribute to her was that I can recommend you before the Father. Yeah, I can recommend what I know. I can recommend you. So try to join. When you see that you are being left behind, Charlie, reorganize yourself and then reinvent yourself. Yeah. Don't be left. This is a camp where we are praying about. Remember, Ezekiah prayed about it. God answered his prayer. So pray about it. You'll never be left behind in the name of Jesus. I see you rather overtaking the young ones in Jesus' name. Where is Ike? He doesn't come for camps. He helped us to start this church. In America. It helped us to start our church in Kolebu. The very, very beginning of Lighthouse. Ike, is he still in New York? He's where now? North Carolina. When you go, tell him. That's what I said. North Carolina. He helped the whole of Lighthouse to start. He was a photographer. And then an usher. So what about now? You see, you just allow people to take over because you don't see that it's important. That when you die, nothing will be said, you're a photographer and so what? And you went to America and so what? You are dead. What did you do spiritually? Oh. Remember when my father died, he had a lot of ties. His ties. But they were the style. Do you see? Was not the modern style that we have. Very big. Different strange colors with some thick material. I couldn't use even one of his ties. I don't know what my mother did with all the ties that he had. Look, when you die, all your things are useless. And when you die, you know one of the things, when they are going to dress the body, they will say, we need a new shirt from England. So your old shirts even cannot be used. They will go and buy a new shirt. It's amazing. Did you buy a new shirt for your father? Yeah. The next one, demonstration of the loyalty of a son. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know of the proof of him that as a son with a father, he has served in the gospel. Let me tell you something. When you are a son, you are loyal. When I went to Kenneth Higgins ministry, they wanted the sons and the children to work. Said that the children have more interest in the ministry than just employees. So become a true son and defend Lighthouse Chapel, defend the cross, defend what you belong to with all your strength and with all your mind. Don't allow people to start talking anyhow. In our church, we don't do that. If you start that kind of thing, we'll drive you out fast. We don't want it. We already know that we are not perfect. And we already know before you came, it was something we knew. So it's not something you are coming to tell us about. We know that Christ is working on us and we are really hoping for improvement. How many are hoping for improvement? Yeah. And we are praying about it seriously. So coming now to be pointing out, it's like a cripple who is walking in here limping like this. And you laugh and say, hey, straighten your leg. You are a wicked person. No? It's not nice. We don't do that. You don't point out somebody's weaknesses and ridicule him. So as you've come here, we know. We have a revelation of ourselves that we are weak. We already, there are things we don't do, we can't do. We are not doing well and we are trying to improve. That's why we are having the camp. So if you've come to try to point out all that is whatever. I know that I'm limping. This leg is straight. We know. Don't talk about it. Just be smart, be nice. And just, I know. There's no need for you to laugh at me. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I know my pastors are also weak. So don't come to me with things about them. I don't need that. And you can see that my pastors, people have come and say, hey, brother, you know, God forgive me if I have, but I have not betrayed my pastor before. My pastors in a country, even if he's wrong, I'll always be on his side. After we meet and discuss the wrong, this thing. But when I see you, never. Once it's my man on the scene, oh, no way. Once it's the person that is there, say, Charlie, he may have whatever this and that. I stand up for him. And I say my policy, once a pastor, always a pastor. Yeah. Baptist church have it. Once a Baptist, always a Baptist. What do you think? Yeah. Because we know that we are failures. We were rejects when we were called. And we saw that Moses and associates were all... They were all struggling. So, look, when I started preaching, they criticized me so much, I almost stopped preaching. Do you get it? I was just shaking like this. I used to have diarrhea. You know diarrhea? Running stomach. That means more than 4 times a day. Is that how you define it? Watery, 4 times a day. Whatever. Oh, and mine started Saturday evening. It's not a day, from the evening till Sunday. Because of church on Sunday morning. I'll be going and up and down, up and down. I said, what sickness is this? The sickness that I had now was because of tension for the Sunday morning. I was a new pastor coming to preach and I was afraid. In the church, they were criticizing me. I'm not called. I'm this. I don't know how to preach. I'm like this. I'm like this. And it created such tension for me. When I come now, I'll have my... Look, I remember one day I came and I opened my Bible, realized that my notes were not bad. I said, no. No, no. What am I going to preach? Please. Because I used to clip my notes in my Bible. I had a clip like that. And I clip it on the page like that. So when I'm preaching and I was learning from Fred Price. So I always watch him and then come and preach and see how preaching is done. So I preach like that. You know, I'll be walking. Pastor and teacher. It's wonderful. I was forcing. Now you come and you say, I'm not good. I'm already not good. And you are coming to point it out. That's what I'm saying. That I know that I'm limping. And I don't need you to say, do you know one leg is shorter? Don't say that. Say, how are you? Are you okay? Be nice to me. Don't take me up on what is deficient. I've seen it already. So I told my wife, my beloved, at that time, I said, is this what is going to happen to me every Saturday for the rest of my life? I remember I discussed it with her. I said, this is a new problem that I have. This is a new problem that I have. On Saturday, I get a running stomach in the evening. Fear! There's a lot of fear in the church. Huh? But somehow, we prevailed. So that's why I defend young pastors. You've got 6 people in the church, you are laughing at him. He knows there are only 6, and 2 of them are his children. He knows. He knows that there are 6. Okay? There's no need to talk about it. In that way. He knows it. When you come around and say it, it's not going to help us. Are you there? The next one. Demonstration of passing tests. You must pass certain tests and prove yourself to be a son. Amen. Hallelujah. As you go along in the ministry, things are going to come to prove you. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for all seek their own, which are Jesus Christ, but you know the proof of him. The proof of him. The proof of him. You know that he's been proved to be a son. Amen. That as a son with his father, amen, he has served. For this cause, 1 Corinthians 4:17, I sent you to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring unto you remembrance of my ways, which are in Christ Jesus, and he shall teach everyone everywhere in the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, and I sent Timotheus. It's all recommendations of Timothy, our brother and minister, our fellow labor in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Amen. 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 All right. So demonstrate by passing the tests. What is a test? A test are the difficulties that come, problems that come, unexpected situations that crop up. You must pass. You must pass. People can't pass tests. That's one of the things I've noticed. Something small comes up. Sometimes you just change the person. Go here. Don't do this. Then the person has freaked out. Sometimes the person comes for an interview. I remember one person came for an interview. We told the person the conditions. Immediately the person fell into the long jump sand. Afterwards, I was thinking about it. I was saying to myself that this person, anybody who's working in full time is better off than the person. But the person doesn't even know it. It's wonderful. But you see, as soon as people are presented with tests, they fail. Some of you, if an orangu was to arise in America and start to talk a certain way, you will follow him. You fail straight away. Or some rebel rises in your church and starts to talk very strongly with a lot of explanations and evidence of things that he doesn't understand. Some of you will even follow it. Some of you, if a prophet wakes up and comes with a prophet, he says, in your house, there are three wardrobes. One on the left, one on the right. One is white, two are blue. In the white one, there's a certain box. In that box, when you open it, you see an envelope. That envelope contains $450. Is it true or it's not true? It's true. Yeah. The Lord says to you, you are not in lighthouse. You are in house light. House light. You are called to be house light. Then you are going. By word of knowledge. If some of you, is just waiting to happen to you. You just need somebody with a familiar spirit who knows familiar things about you, is familiar with you and knows things about you, to just give you one or two revelations. One or two revelations. And that's it. You'll be gone out of here. Meanwhile, the Bible says, a stranger, they will not follow. A stranger, they will not follow. Amen. Introduce yourself. I'm Sergeant. Whatever. Introduce yourself. I'm a spiritual policeman assigned to keep you alive in the church. And then the last one is the demonstration of a childlike attitude of a son. Amen. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand to your feet. How many are going to be good spiritual sons and are going to demonstrate? What's the first thing you must demonstrate? Teachable spirit. Number two. Kindred spirit. Huh? Start. Number one. Kindred. Similar. Like-minded. Companionable. Understanding, sympathetic, agreeable, in tune, congenial, companionable, spirit of a son. So from when you go to your church, look at your parents and say, are you companionable? Are you agreeable? Are you in tune? Look at them. See that they are not proper children. They are bastards and bastardesses. The next one, number three. A caring attitude of a son, isn't it? I have no one who cares naturally. Number three, number four. The what? Servant attitude. Is that not so? A son serves his father. And some of you are thinking, oh, well, let me carry your Bible. Personally, I don't like people carrying my Bible. Don't offer to carry my Bible. I don't even like it. The reason is because it's not a sign of humility. And I don't want you to be deceived that when you are carrying my Bible. And number two, people always lose my Bible. When you take up, where is my Bible? It's gone here, it's gone here. So many people have taken it. I don't like it. So don't offer. It's not a sign that you are a servant. There are other things which show that you are a servant apart from carrying my Bible. And I don't like it. Carry your own Bible. How can you show that you are a servant? A true servant is a servant in the heart. It's not the outward signs. Yes, sir, good evening, good morning. And then you bow down. You like some of those, they are the wildest rebels that are just serpents who have to show outward signs that they are sheep. When they are serpents. Look for the thing that is in the heart. That this person I serve. You hear me sometimes mentioning Bishop Duncan Williams. I don't mention to for him to hear. He is not here. He does not hear what I say. But you can see that it's not a show to him. No, at all. I don't show it. I don't worry him. I don't do it. Whatever he's doing, I'm just in my world. And that's my attitude. When I meet him or when there is some reason to interact or some crisis or any situation, then we come into play. Yeah, that's the real thing. So, hey, good evening, sir. Lie down. This, what is this? Oh. I'm loyal, sir. Good evening, sir. I came to express my loyalty. My loyalty to you, sir. Express your loyalty with years and years and years of service as a son or a daughter. That's how you express yourself. You know how you have served me as a son. Amen. What's the next one? Demonstration of loyalty. Amen. The loyalty of a son. Faithfulness. Next one. Passing the tests. Anytime a new circumstance or new something comes up, that's when you see the sons and the masters. Huh? Yeah. Something new. Some new thing. Some situation. Then you begin to see difficulties. You begin to see these are sons. These ones are not sons. You know, one of the ways you can see when somebody is a son is, you know, when even he has a problem and you can talk about it. But some of you, if you have a problem, we can't talk. We just greet us. Oh, how's it? Oh, okay. See you. Maybe you have gone to join the army, the U.S. Army. Nobody can talk about it. Till you go and you are killed and we have to look after your widow. When you are dead, then we have to look after your widow. Nobody can say it. Anything you are doing, nobody can say it. No, nobody can talk about it. There are some, you know, one time I was talking to a certain brother. He was having a serious crisis in the marriage. Serious. But the brother was a son, but the wife is not a, no, she's not a daughter. She's just a member. Just a member. Based on her membership, I couldn't talk to her. By the son, I could talk. So I gave him a key. The key that I gave him can be applied unilaterally. Well, there are unilateral keys and bilateral keys. The bilateral keys involve the two sides. So when you see that you cannot speak to one side, you have to deploy a unilateral key. So I gave him a unilateral key that will work, assuming there is no response from the other side. And he applied the unilateral key. And it worked. The reason is because the other one is not a daughter. It's not somebody. It's just a member. It's not somebody you can speak to. And some people, when you speak to, they say, yeah, it's you men. You see, they will say it in there. You men. You see, that's how men think. And you see, you men, you are talking to me. I'm a man. Mm-hmm. Instead of seeing me as a pastor or as a man of God, now you men. Now you see my things as men. And what about the men? And what about him? And what about the? That's how you talk. So I can't talk. I know that's how you respond to me, so I don't even bother. I just leave you in your world. It is true. I said, it is true. That is why I look at her sister, I say, oh, this one, when I speak, she would not even understand. Never agree. Never say yes. Never say no. Never say die. Never say never. Never bend. Never yield. Never understand, never accept, never bow, never yield. Hey! One day I spoke to a certain pastor. I told him, your wife hates me. I said, your wife hates me. And he was quiet because he knew that it was true. I said, your wife hates me. Some wives hate me. Me, I haven't done anything to them. I just preach. And then they hate me. Sometimes they think they are in the message. If you are in the message, change. Then you will not be in the next message. If you are in the message, change. So that the next message that can see it will not be you. Don't be angry. Just get angry with me. Some of the things I say is Jesus who said them. So the anger you are expressing, it's not anger towards me. You're angry with Jesus. So if you know that you are the one in the message, I said, this man. No, don't be angry with me. Just change. So that part two, when I'm saying never say that, I said that. I say never say no, so I said no. Never say yes, I said yes. Never agree, I agreed. Then it's not you. I told him, I said, your wife hates me. Why should your pastor tell you that your wife hates me? He can feel it. Man, I have not talked to her too. I've never said oh, this. And oh, no. Just normal preaching. That's how I just minister in the church. I can feel the vibrations that are coming. Hey! Forgive. Whenever there's a couple, they are dealing with a pastor, and they sense or feel that the pastor has a closer relationship or knows one side more than the other one can easily turn into dislike and hatred, camouflaged. Yeah. Hello. When they go home, Yes. One guy, he started jumping in his house. You are having an affair with the pastor. He started jumping. You are having an affair. Now you have become a kangaroo. You have become a chimpanzee. He was possessed. He was now possessed in the house. Oh. He started jumping in the house, jumping up and down, up and down. Instead of doing that, rather also develop a close relationship with the pastor. That's all. Many people know. He said that, look, marriage, if you have a traffic light, that works in your marriage. Marriage will be easier. You know that's what I mean, traffic light. No. Marriage is like, you are coming from here. This man is, you are from here. You see? The woman's world. And he's also from the man's world. You are from Ghana. He's from coming from somewhere. All you need to avoid confusion is a traffic light you all respect. When he says red for you, you stop. You are wrong. Stay. You are right. Come and pass. If you had one in your house would be so nice. But most of us don't have a traffic light. Yeah. So what happens is, it's like soccer teams that are playing and they are also the referee. There's no referee. So when you play, no, it's a penalty. No, it's not a penalty. It's a penalty. It's not a penalty. It's a penalty. It's not a penalty. It's a goal. It's not a goal. It entered. It didn't enter. It's a green card. It's a red card. It's no card. Because there's no referee in your house. It's just the two of you. Argue. And then when you grow older and your children grow older, they become the jury. You start to call on them. You start to call them and say, what do you think? You see what mommy did? You see, it's what mommy did. Is it right? And even when they grow up, they actually go to court and the children are on one side and somebody's on the other side. It's common. Because you are looking for, and that traffic light would have been your pastor if he was close enough and he would be able to say, sister, this one, you are wrong. Your husband is some way, but in this case, you are wrong. So shut up. Now, shut up. Don't say that again. And then you turn to husband, you are right. Take care. Or if it's the other way around, you face the husband and say, Mr. Big Staff, will you be quiet now? And then you turn to the wife and say, darling, this one, you are right. You can go this way. And that is the end of the issue. One day, I was talking to a certain sister. Christian sister was married. She was having a problem with her husband. So I said, come, talk to me about the problem. So when she talked for some time. After some time, I said, my sister, do you know what a problem is? It seems you don't know marital problems. I think her husband had gone to buy some land and he was asking her to put her name so that she should come and sign now. Not that she shouldn't sign, but she should come and sign. And it was a problem, something to do about the timing, something. I said, sister, you don't know what a marital problem is. I said, will you stop that nonsense now? Okay? Will you shut up now? Get to the house quickly and go and sign the thing and stop misbehaving. People are building houses without even telling their whatever. They've asked you to come and sign the thing. Your problem is about the time they ask you to sign. Hey! I said, my sister, take the pen and go and sign the thing quickly. Don't be silly. And that was the end of that problem. I've never heard of it again. Sometimes people don't know what is a problem. Sometimes, I think sometimes people feel that there must be a problem. And now, since there's no problem, let us create something so that there will be a beast. At least something to fight about. One day I saw a certain sister. She said, she feels like quarreling. I said, what? What? I just feel like it. And then later on, do you know what she was complaining? She was complaining about, she said that, when I cried, he takes it too seriously. It's like it's like as if it's a game to quarrel. And then you just resume back and then, we're just crying, but he takes it too far. So watch out, okay? Next one is what? Development of what? Childlike. It's not secretive, isn't it? Open. What do you think? Yeah. What's the next one? Duties of a spiritual son. You want a break? No, we are going to watch the DVD right now. So, what do you want a break for? Sit down for a moment. Now, if you are a son, these are your duties. Number one, establishing churches. The duties of a son are to establish churches. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, and I sent Timotheus, our brother, and our minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That's why Pastor Joel was running up and down from New York to Maryland every Sunday to establish the church, because he's a true son. That's why he was coming. Yvonne, do you understand? So are you a daughter? And I expect you to, this is a duty. Go also, I'm sending you, go and establish churches. A daughter is not saying, yes, daddy, yes, daddy. Yes, daddy, if you call somebody, yes, hamburger, it doesn't mean he's a hamburger. When you call somebody, yes, daddy, doesn't mean he's a daddy. You can stand in your garage and say, I am a BMW. You are not a BMW. Saying it doesn't make it. Doing it is what makes it. And a true son of an apostle establishes churches. And God has anointed me as an apostle to establish a church, a big church in the world. And as one of my sons, do you understand? I'm sending you to also go and establish churches. Amen. That's it. If you are really a son or a daughter, I'm sending you to establish other church. That's what proves that you are really my son. That's also, yes, daddy. No, daddy. Okay, daddy. Yes, that. Please. That's not what makes you a son or a daughter. The real sons that, the real, or not even the real, that some real sons that I have or real daughters, they don't call me daddy or papa. I said, so we are also going to call you daddy. Please, I don't need somebody to call me daddy. So some people feel that, oh, daddy, so, look, the real son, this is the real son. Can you imagine if I am, I sell matches? Okay. I deal in matches. Do you have matches here? Don't use matches in English. Okay, what do you use here? Candles. You use candles. I make candles, lighters, whatever. And you are my son. And I've sent you to go and sell candles just as I am doing to help my business to expand. And that's what an apostle's son is for. Is also to go and establish churches. And Paul said, Timothy, I have sent him to you to establish you and to comfort you. What do you think? Is it a powerful idea? Yeah. So, oh, I'm a son of the ministry. You are a member. When you become a son, you go around establishing church. Number two, comforting churches. Amen. Amen. Comforting churches is another important duty of the people. When you come to the ministry, you bring them encouragement. Your presence brings encouragement. You don't come to the church and come and let the pastor look silly. But why do you have only 12 members? Don't say that. Where are the people? You call this a church? I don't say that. I don't go to people's churches and make them feel bad. I rather tell them you have a very nice choir. The church is great. Pastor is doing well. He's a great person. This and that. I want the church to work. I want the person to be encouraged, to be comforted. And to know that, don't you feel comforted as I'm preaching to encourage you that 5 members is also a church? And to, it's a church. Fully a church. Don't let anybody close that thing down. So a true son of an apostle is someone who establishes the church and comforts the other pastors. Okay? What do you think? Yeah. Hannah, do you understand? Encourage the church. You see, I remember when we came to was a place called Worcester. So establish the church. Establish the church. And everywhere, it's going to work. It's going to work. Ah, why? Devils don't want us to do our churches. We are also determined to do the church. And eventually, there will be people in the church. Oh. What do you think? So when you are a real son, you'll be establishing churches, comforting the churches. Must comfort the pastors. Number three, teaching of doctrine. Teaching doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Teaching doctrine. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You see, a true son goes around ensuring that the right doctrine of the church is being taught. That's why sometimes you say you are a son. But I mean, even from the messages that you preach and the doctrines that are being espoused in the church and the ministry that you are in shows that you are not a son. It's not by what you say. It's by what you are even teaching. A true son, a duty. There are only 4 duties of a true son. And the third duty is to teach doctrine and establish a particular kind of doctrine in the church. Do you have any of the textbooks here? Give me. Have you given it out? Yeah, let me show you. You say you are a son of the house. Take the doctrine that God has given me. Take it out there. You know, Bishop Eddie, he said, he's a bishop. He said, you know, God told him he should just teach my doctrines and what I have taught. Yeah, but that's what a son does. Teaches the doctrine that his father has taught. Paul said that, thou therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace and the things that thou hast heard of me. The same things that you heard of, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That is it. So you can see whether you are a son by this thing. You establish churches, you comfort churches, and you ensure that no other doctrine is being taught, and the doctrine that we have is being established. That's why we have the form to fill, what you preach, whatever. This is the reason. And you can see. We're trying to train shepherds, trying to teach people. I've got four beautiful textbooks, okay, which I'm launching. And I'll show you. The first one is this one. You see, these four books here contain all the books I've ever written. It's not any new material, but every book that I've ever written, plus some books which are not yet published. They are being published, but they are not yet published, are in these four books. That's the doctrine that we have taught in the church. Beautiful books. And I'm going to give every pastor one of these. If you become a pastor, I'll give you, it's a gift to you. You also give an offering, but it's just, I'm not selling it. They are sold, but it's not for sale. We didn't bring it to sale. Pastoral ministry, all the things, everything is here. Everything that has ever been is put together here. Church administration. It's just a name, but everything. All things that have ever been taught, I've ever written, all here so far. Of course, some new things are being written now. They are not here, but they are just being done. And then there's everything, frugality, this, all, everything is in it. They are all slightly different names, but it's the same thing, basically. Everything. This is the doctrine of the house. Huh? Yeah. Those are the doctrines of the house. You know, I know you are a great person with new doctrines, but see, in the house, we have things that we want to teach. And all of you should make sure you get a set of this thing. Then you have and make sure you get a makane. Do you know what is a makane? A makane is all the camp, especially get the eye makane. So you have everything. And then when the poemano comes, you get a poemano. When the optazio comes, then all the doctrines are set for you to teach forever and ever. I mean, there's a lot to teach to even obey. I'm not saying you don't listen to any other tape or listen to any other book or read any other thing. Don't be silly. That is not what I said. Don't be silly. Okay? When I preach, you hear me mentioning a lot of names of people. All right? You can't listen to me preaching without hearing about other people. But I'm telling you that this is a doctrine of this house. When you join Goobly Gob International Church, Goobly Gob will have their own line of teaching. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And I say it's so important. That's why I'm giving every pastor, that's those who have already been appointed pastors, I'm giving you, I've carried all these things here for you to give to you. You just sign for it, give an offering, whatever you want to give. But at least you should give something. You know, as an offering. This is, I mean, it's a lot of money. It costs us thousands and thousands of euros. They are printed in Europe. So a true son would take this, his father's doctrine or the doctrine of the house, and be espousing that doctrine and establishing it. So you go, you see somebody is teaching Aaron's beard, whatever. What is Aaron's beard that you are teaching about? You are teaching about Aaron's beard. Which is this new thing that you are teaching? Have you thought about frugality? Have you thought about loyalty before you come to Aaron's beard? What do you think? You see, you have to understand that the anointing on my life is the anointing of the apostle to establish a church. And that's how come all these things are. You ask yourself, of course, I have helpers who, Juanita, this was her last work that she did before she died. This was amazing. She worked on it for a long time. And just as it arrived in Ghana, she died. You know? So, it's a very important work. And you need to have it. And you need to study and read. And be blessed. That's how I get rejoiced and I'm so happy. This should be your joy if you are a son. Your joy is when you see your father's book and say, and you go to some people's house, when you go, you say, Kenneth Copeland. You see a lot of Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Uzziah, Kenneth this, all kinds of... All kinds of Kenneths. And your old father is like, you don't even have the books. You don't even have them. It's interesting. You see what people preach. You read that today, Aaron's beard, tomorrow, Moses' shoes, tomorrow, some other doctrine. Moses' basket, the basket that he was put in the water with. I mean, different topics. And you can see that this is not a real son. It's a pseudo son. That's how you see the real sons of the men. That's why when I was telling Pastor Richard, look, when I preach, he knows what I preached. And not that he's just knowing whatever, but it's just like when I hear it. Since I came, I've been pouring out to you what I've learned from Rick Joyner's books. When I go to sleep, I put on my video. Now, I don't put on the televisions they have. I don't know if they even have one here, but I put on my own video that I move around with. My own video and my own everything. I have the tapes like this. All that I move with. Yeah, high tech. I told you I'm very high tech. I have videos, plenty, all. I just move in a high tech system. Everything, anything that I want to watch, I have it with me. The people that I listen to, from here to here to there, plenty. And I move. You get it? Yeah. That's also my own makane. What do you think? Do you have three duties of a son? And number four, exhorting Christians. Exhorting Christians as a duty of a son. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise. Let no man do what? Let no man do what? Amen. Let no man despise what? Thy. Let no man despise thee. So exhort Christians. Amen. Right. I want to show you a little. Next, when we come back, maybe tonight or maybe tomorrow morning, I'm going to teach you on core areas for development in your ministry. Core areas that you need to develop for your ministry. How many want to know the core areas that you need to develop for your ministry? All right? And I believe that you are going to be blessed. There are more things in the book. Amen. All right. So pastors, you come and you sign on the piano. And you bring your offering. I'm sure many of you can afford to give $100 offering or $10. Huh? For each book. For the set. Yeah. That's very small. Who gave you that? No. You give an offering. Look at the thing. Say you are giving. You give $100 as an offering. It's fine. But I mean, you give what you can. But you should give something. Yeah, $100 is good. Yeah. But if you can't give $100, give what you can give. But give some. Don't be some way. You understand? You have to be appreciative. Things are being done for you. Ah! You must rather be sympathetic and say, this man, what else? What is he doing? Everything is free. Making this, doing this, coming here, making this. And it's like people don't even read it or listen to it. Let us try to be sympathetic and congenial. Oh, and in tune and agreeable. Oh, you don't think so? Hey, mercy. Try to be congenial. Are these not the things that we have taught? Yeah. All right. So that is that. Okay. Listen. Ben-Hinn has all these big American churches to go to. I just have you. So I need you to do your best. Try your best too. Because you'll be happy. You'll be happy that you are part of this thing. And so if you are not a partner, how many are partners of Healing Jesus Crusade? That means every month, direct debit. Are you partners? Raise your hand. How many are not partners? Can you become partners? Even if it's $20, we like it. Can you do direct debit for $20? What do you call it here, direct debit? What? Direct debit. Is that what you call it here? Deposit what? Direct deposit. Do we have any forms? How many would like to be a partner? Even $20, we like it. We use it because where we are working, we use $20. And we want it from the bank, not something we come and ask you. How many are not partners, but you like to be a partner? Raise your hand. Even $20, we want it. 50, 100. How much are you supposed to give to be a partner? $50. Yeah. If you can't give, you can give 25. Fine. We still use it for something. So what do we do if they want to be partners? You have forms. Please raise up your hand and Rosalind is going to give to you. Is it not a powerful thing? Yeah. So all your church members, get them to be partners. Even if it's 20, without thinking, it has gone to help Healing Jesus Crusade. I mean, it's a good thing. And it may be the only wise thing that you may be doing around these times. So please, all pastors, you must mobilize your members. Take these forms. That's what I say. A son must be what? Like-minded, in tune, congenial, sympathetic. Are you sympathetic to the cause? So let all your members be. You see, I had recent last, I asked them to give me a graph of the Healing Jesus partners. And I can see the congenial, in tune sons by the partners in their churches. Like in Accra, the partners, the church which gives the most partners is the Sakumono Church. And it's because of the pastor that he's very, very strong to let all the members be partners. Direct debit in Ghana. We also do direct debit in Ghana. You think we don't have direct debit in Ghana? We are high tech also, yeah. And he makes the people be partners. So it's the highest church. So to me, it's a measure of your strength of letting the people flow in it. It's true. It's really up to you. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. As you can see, I've made a film. I've brought it, showed it to you. I've asked you to give money. And I'll ask you again. You understand? Give. Help us. Once a year, I come around. Once, maybe twice. Do something special, something extra. Do and help. You understand? It's up to me to either get you to give or not. And similarly, pastors, it's up to you to get your people to support this thing or not. Even $20, we like it. Tell somebody, it seems they like even the 20. So let's do it. Yeah. I prefer $20 direct debit than your promise of $100, which we have to come. You give us direct debit. 20. Roslyn, what do you think? It works. Anything that you think you can give without it causing you a problem or whatever, give it. British Airways, they have this collection that they do for children. One day when they mentioned the millions that they've collected from the pastor, millions of pounds. Little, it adds up. So pastors, don't think that getting your member to give $20, all your members, everybody there, join, direct them, show them account, pay direct them. 20, all of you were to do that for a church with more than 1,000 people in America. It helps. It will definitely help. So I'm commissioning pastors. Are you in tune? Are you congenial? Are you in step? Are you like-minded? Then go home and do your homework and let your church be the highest supporting church of Healing Jesus Crusade effort. Where we are. Let it be. Oh. Oh, my children. Try to be faithful to the end. Oh. Let only death separate us. Only death should separate us. I'm telling you. Let only death separate us. Let us work for him to the last moment. Yes. Death is what should separate us, like marriage. Let's try. Then we would have overcome the devil's attempt to shake us, to scatter us, to separate us, to misguide us, to accuse ourselves. we would have overcome it because he couldn't separate us. We were together to the end. Like that lady who wrote to Bishop Sakye and said, as you people have been together, I've been in many, many churches. Always this one, leave this one, this, but I've watched you people, and it was only death which was able to separate you. May it be only death which can separate us in Jesus' name. What do you think? You see, the ministry is becoming bigger. How many realize that the thing is becoming bigger? It's becoming something else. And that's what you have supported, though. So let's support it. It's going to get even bigger. You'll be surprised at who you supported. Sometimes when you support somebody, you realize that this is the person I supported. Eesh, I backed the right horse. I put my money on the right horse. Yeah, it's getting far bigger than it originally was. I never thought I would have a crusade like this. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people, miracles. That I'm sure soon you'll see the dead raised. Oh, yeah. So, God will bless you. Anybody else who has not finished filling the form, raise your hand, please. Finish filling. Please, try and be a partner. $100, $50. Those of you who are board members, I'm going to meet with you again tomorrow. I have to raise funds from you. I don't like it. It's the part of the work I don't like. You know, sometimes you're doing some physics or whatever, then you see that there's an aspect you don't like, the chemistry or something. That's the part I also don't like. What do you do? If I don't raise it, I'll just be there and I'll stop the crusade. That's it. I'll just stop it. Because the money that we take as offerings in the church cannot finance it. We are building 149 church buildings at the same time. 100, I can show you an album with every single building that we have. But 149 buildings. What should we do? We should stop. We have to force and do it. And we are coming to build now 100 churches USA. And the time is going to come, we'll start to have buildings right here in America. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It will happen. It's just a matter of time. You just have to be patient. You will be there, you will see it. You will see when you drive, you say, oh, that's lighthouse. In America, you drive and say, that's a lighthouse or whatever there. But be patient. Because I am sure, you see, many of the people who despised me when I was in school, now they can only go to my website, always checking the website to see. Spying, following, finding out, checking it. They just keep looking. They cannot even talk to me. They cannot read because they said so many things and left in such despisement. Oh, they shouldn't have done that. You see, should just still be friends. You know, you despise something, the thing works and becomes a great thing. Huh? Forgive. Anybody else who has not finished filling the form, but it's because of you we are waiting. Waiting on you. Waiting. Patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seek to find my strength whilst I'm waiting for you. Waiting on you. Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. 'Cause Lord, I seek to find my strength whilst I'm waiting on you. Are you waiting? Waiting on you. Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. 'Cause Lord, I seek to find my strength whilst I'm waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. 'Cause Lord, I seek to find my strength whilst I'm waiting on you. How many have not yet filled the form? Everybody? All right. Now tell the person next to you. Tell the person, I know you, that you are not a partner. I know. I know. I'm the one sitting by you. Now tell the person, why do you behave like that in the church? Ask the person, why do you behave like that in the church? All right. Tomorrow we are starting at 6 a.m. Today Ghana played with Morocco or Egypt, and we scored them 2-0. So we are blessed. The toes of the three people that I prayed for are scoring. Stand to your feet and let us pray. I said I was going to give you core areas for development, but I think my ear is paining me, so I'm going to sleep. Hey! So tomorrow we continue. How many are ready for tomorrow morning? Powerful. Tomorrow is the last day of the camp. So make sure you come. And we are going to go wherever I get to. When I go to London, I'll continue with the remainder of my notes. Whenever I finish there, I'll go to South Africa and continue that one. Amen. Lift up your hand. Waiting on you. Waiting on you, patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time, 'cause Lord, I seek to find my strength whilst I'm waiting on you. Waiting on you, Lord. Waiting on you, waiting on you. I'm patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. Oh Lord, I seek to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. Come on, sing it for the last time. I'm waiting, Lord. Waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm patiently waiting. Patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried, Lord. I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seek to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. Singing for the very last time. I'm waiting, Lord. Waiting on you. I am waiting on you. Lift your hand, Jesus. Sing it. Patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried. I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seek to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. Lay your hand on your heart. Father, touch the hearts of your children. Open our eyes, Lord. Touch our hearts. Soften our hearts. That we may love you. That we may know you. That we may follow you. That we may be delivered from deception and lies of the enemy. That we may be stronger in our service for you. Thank you, Jesus, for a new wave and a new day and a new touch for our heart. That we will live only for you and serve only you and die for you and do everything for you and cling to you and be close to you, Lord. This is what we are praying. We thank you, Father, for touching our hearts and opening our eyes in Jesus' name. Waiting on you. Come on. Waiting on you. I'm patiently waiting on you.
I ain't worried about the time. Yeah, Lord, I seek to find.
Come on,
my strength while I'm waiting on you.
Lift your hand and sing it for the last time. Hey,
waiting on,
I'm waiting on you.
Waiting on you.
I'm patiently,
patiently waiting on you.
Lord, I seek to find.
Lord, I seek
the time. Lord, I seek.
Lord, I seek to find
my strength
while I'm waiting on you.
Hold somebody's hand.
I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seek to find.
Come on, my strength
while I'm waiting on you.
Hold somebody's hand and sing it out. I'm waiting on you, Lord.
Waiting on you.
I'm waiting.
Waiting on you.
I'm patiently waiting.
Patiently waiting on you.
I ain't worried. I ain't worried.
I ain't worried about the time.
Lord, I seek to find.
Lord, I seek to find my strength while I'm waiting on you.
God bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.